From NPR News in Washington, I'm Paul Brown. Iran has charged three detained U.S. citizens with spying. The official Iranian news agency quoted an official of Iran's judicial system. The three Americans were detained after they strayed into Iran from northern Iraq in July. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid is looking for a way to get a health care overhaul bill passed now that the House has approved a bill, but the House version contains a publicly run insurance option, and that's something independent Connecticut Senator Joe Lieberman says he will not vote for. Reid is trying to find votes for a public plan that states could opt out of. He'll need 60 votes to hold off a Republican filibuster, and he's been hinting that because of the challenges involved, the Senate may not be able to get to a vote before the end of the year. Buses, subways, and trolleys are rolling again this morning in the Philadelphia region. Dave Heller reports from member station WHYY.
Despite a rancorous 6 days of negotiating, both sides presented a united front when they appeared just after midnight to announce a tentative contract agreement between the Southeastern Pennsylvania Transportation Authority and the Transport Workers Union Local 234. Philadelphia Mayor Michael Nutter and Pennsylvania Governor Ed Rendell were drawn into efforts to end the impasse, which centered on pension benefit contributions. The announcement is a relief for the more than 900,000 weekday commuters relying on SEPTA service, especially those of limited means who have to turn to taxis to get to appointments and work destinations. The union represents around 5,000 bus drivers, subway and trolley operators, and mechanics, and TWU President Willie Brown says a ratification vote is expected in about a week. For NPR News, I'm Dave Heller in Philadelphia.
Residents from Louisiana to Florida are making preparations for Hurricane Ida. The storm is weakening as it approaches the Gulf Coast, but high winds, heavy rain, and flooding are expected later today. NPR's Russell Lewis has more from New Orleans.
The latest predictions from the National Hurricane Center show Ida coming ashore somewhere between Mississippi and Alabama, either late today or early tomorrow. But strong bands of rain and wind are expected to cover a much wider area spanning hundreds of miles. The late-season hurricane, the first to threaten the mainland U.S. this year, could bring a storm surge of 6 feet. Mississippi authorities say Ida could come ashore at high tide, making potential flooding worse. Some schools in Florida, Alabama, Mississippi, and Louisiana have already been closed today. Louisiana has declared a state of emergency. Low-lying parishes along the coast have called for voluntary evacuations outside of the levee protection zones. Russell Lewis, NPR News, New Orleans.
Heavy rain has brought flooding and mudslides to El Salvador. More than 120 people are known dead there, and dozens of people are missing. The president of El Salvador has declared a national state of emergency. From Washington, this is NPR News. The Supreme Court hears arguments today in two cases testing whether it is unconstitutionally cruel and unusual punishment to sentence a juvenile to life in prison without parole for a crime that did not involve a death. NPR's Nina Totenberg has more.
The two cases, both from Florida, involve a 13-year-old sentenced to life for rape and a 17-year-old sentenced to life for armed robbery. Nationally, there are 109 such cases, 77 of them in Florida. Florida officials would not comment about the cases to be argued today, but the state is supported by 19 other states, including Louisiana, and its Attorney General, James Buddy Caldwell.
Disagree that the juvenile crimes are any less culpable than adult crimes.
But lawyer Brian Stevenson, who represents the 13-year-old sentenced to life without parole, notes that Florida has no minimum age for the penalty.
We could be talking about a 6-year-old or a 10-year-old and a 12-year-old.
Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.
Secretary of State Hillary Clinton is in Berlin today as Germany celebrates 20 years since the fall of the Berlin Wall, one of the most visible and dramatic symbols of the Cold War.
I am delighted to be here in Berlin for this historic occasion, to be in the city that meant so much not only to the German people but to the European and American people and the world.
The wall came down as the Soviet Union, under reforms introduced by its premier at the time, Mikhail Gorbachev, dissolved, and along with it, the Warsaw Pact bloc of which East Germany had been a part. I'm Paul Brown, and this is NPR News from Washington.